All right, welcome to an episode. I'll do a mini episode of ICU Doc Talk. I'm going to talk about Matthew Perry and ketamine and just my thoughts about what happened with his untimely and tragic death. And, it needs to be worth saying that Matthew Perry was, I know it's like obvious, but he was a human being. He was, he was a famous actor, but none of those things matter. Like, he was a human being who struggled with substance use disorder like his entire life, and his death was obviously a tragedy. And I'm saddened at his death, just because I'm saddened that it was an accident, I think a drowning accident, which I'll get into what I think. But anyway, it's just, I don't know what my point is. I think my point is, it's, it's terrible when stuff like this gets in the news, and then the human being gets lost in it, in the sensationalization. And I hope I'm not contributing to that by talking about this podcast, but the reason I want to bring it up is I want to talk about ketamine. So when you looking at the medical examiner report from the County of Los Angeles website, they determined the cause of death of Matthew Perry, and I'm quoting here, as the acute effects of ketamine. And then contributing factors in Mr. Perry's death included drowning, coronary artery disease, and the effects of buprenorphine, which is an opiate that is used to treat opiate use disorder. And then the manner of the death was an accident. So I'm not commenting on the medical examiner's report. It's not my expertise to like determine cause of death. Like, that is not what I do. Well, I mean, actually it is kind of my expertise, right? Cause I watch people die all the time in the critical care, and I file out, death reports and what caused them. So I guess it is a little bit part of my field, but not like, I don't determine cause. I don't do autopsy reports. I'm not qualified for that, or writing reports like this. And certainly determining the cause of death of somebody in the community. Like, I can determine the cause of death of somebody in the ICU. But anyway, so reading that, it's a little perplexing that the cause of death is the acute effects of ketamine. That doesn't make a lot of sense. A lot of sense to me that is what his death is being attributed to. And that's the whole reason I'm recording this, because I'm now afraid of the inevitable stigmatization that will result from the drug ketamine, from this, in the sensationalization in the news, and then also the blaming him for his addiction. And you see these terrible comments all over the place, and so many people just don't have understanding of addiction and blame the victim of addiction. Many people do understand that, but many people don't, and I just and that's just has to do with ignorance and not understanding that addiction is a disease. But anyway, so the reason I'm confused, so they determined that his ketamine levels was about 3,500 nanograms per milliliter. When in anesthesia and surgery, a lot of times we'll give ketamine, the therapeutic range we look for is about 1,000 to 6,000 range. So he was in 3,000, right? He was like in the middle of that range. So he had, he had a high dose of ketamine in his bloodstream. Now, it looks like he was probably getting it on the side for, I think he was getting infusions, but it was like a week or two prior. So he was getting a supply of ketamine on the side. I don't know how he's administering it to itself, whatever. I have no idea those things. I could speculate. It doesn't really matter. But to call the cause of death the acute effects of ketamine, I guess that makes sense. I mean, he was like in a hot tub or swimming or whatever. So, and then he had buprenorphine in his system. So he took ketamine, which made him sedate. And then it probably had a synergistic effect with the buprenorphine, the opiate. And then he probably fell asleep, or, quote, passed out, went unconscious. And then he was submerged in the water and he drowned. So, I mean, that's how he died. But I've seen reports saying it's the acute toxic effects of ketamine and things like that. So that amount of ketamine doesn't kill, is not deadly, right? It's not deadly. It may have been deadly in these circumstances because he was not monitored and he was in a pool. And that's why it was an accident. So ketamine, I made a couple TikTok posts. Like, I've literally never overdosing on ketamine is not a thing. It's not a thing that happens in the community. People don't come into the hospital with acute ketamine overdose. Let's say my phone went off, I'm at work and I get a call. Hey, there's a patient in the emergency department. He needs to come to the ICU. They have ketamine overdose. I'd be like, what? What are you talking about? I've never heard of that in my entire life. People don't really overdose on ketamine. I don't want to speculate too much, but there's many reasons that people don't. I think one of my points is it's a very safe drug. It has a very safe pharmacological profile. It it doesn't cause respiratory depression, keeps people breathing, it takes away people's pain. It's a great analgesic. It's not opiate. It does not drop your respiratory drive. And then there's a lot of speculation that it can have sympathomimetic effects, meaning it doesn't like fight or flight response. Like it can cause tachycardia. It doesn't. At the doses I've given, and I give this drug almost every day to patients, I'm an experienced ketamine practitioner, for lack of better words. I give this drug every day in the ICU and in the operating room. It does not cause tachycardia. It does not cause low blood pressure. In theory, yeah, you can go look it up right now. You can find papers that pharmacologically, yes, in theory, can do these things. Clinically, doesn't happen. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't happen. From my anecdotal experience, and it is anecdote, but it's also a lot of experience, it doesn't happen. These things don't happen. The higher heart rate or low blood pressure or high blood, it just doesn't. Clinically, you don't see these effects. And that's why it's a very safe drug to use under monitored circumstances. So the therapeutic potential of ketamine is amazing. It's an amazing anesthetic. It's also never a sole anesthetic, usually, you know, for general anesthesia. You don't just give someone ketamine for a general anesthesia. It's always in concert with a balanced anesthetic with other medications, like a volatile anesthetic that you breathe, or like a propofol infusion, which is a more potent hypnotic or sedative than ketamine. So it's used for anesthesia. It doesn't drop respiratory drive. It's a very good medication for brief procedures. Like someone comes in, their shoulder's dislocated. Well, rather than going to the operating room, an orthopedic surgeon can pop that back in, but that's really painful. So you give someone a big thing, a slug of ketamine, and they go out of, they leave their bodies, for lack of a better word. They have the dissociation, and then they pop it back in. They don't remember it. And it's an analgesic, right? So it's a great medication for people with chronic pain or people that are on chronic opiate use, and they come in and they have acute surgical pain. And, you know, it has its own mechanism of action. It's not an opiate, and it helps these people a lot. And then there's a whole emerging field that ketamine helps with psychiatric illnesses like depression and things like that. I'm not knowledgeable about that use of ketamine, but I think the potential is amazing. I think just one of my main points is Matthew Perry, if he had had this, here's why I have a problem calling it the acute effects of ketamine as a primary cause of death. Again, I'm speculating, maybe I shouldn't. So take this with a grain of salt. All right. I'm not the final word here, but if he had done these things on his couch, the same amount of medications, ketamine and the buprenorphine, I would bet $1 billion he would still be alive right now if he did these things on his couch. That tells me the ketamine is not the cause of his death. But again, I, of course, I'm speculating. Okay, so that's nothing I provided was evidence. But on the medical examiner report, it also said he drowned. So drowning kills you. Ketamine doesn't kill you. So I don't understand. And then it also mentioned how a contributing factor could be his coronary artery disease. His coronary artery disease had nothing. Coronary artery disease doesn't kill you. It's a heart attack from coronary disease that can be deadly. You don't die from just coronary artery disease. You die from the consequences of coronary artery disease. So for them to mention in the report that coronary artery disease is a contributing factor, honestly, it doesn't make any sense. It's nonsense. I'm quoting here. It says, contributing factors in Mr. Perry's death, including drowning, coronary artery disease, and the effects of buprenorphine. It just doesn't make any sense. Coronary artery disease is not a contributing factor here. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not well-versed in medical examiner jargon and vernacular and how they use things. It might be because I'm just inexperienced with these reports. That's probably the source of my confusion. But I just wanted to address and to kind of fight the inevitable stigmatization that I think is happening with ketamine. And I just think many, many, many people will take home the message ketamine is bad and ketamine will kill you. I know it. I know it's going to happen. You know, when I bring up ketamine now, I know patients will be like, oh, is that the one who killed Matthew Perry? This will happen. No, it's fine. I can educate and things like that. The misunderstanding that flows from headlines is it's immediate and it's widespread when stuff like this happens. Same thing happened with Michael Jackson and propofol, which is a completely different situation. Completely different, right? He was inappropriately being administered propofol by, I believe, a cardiologist. A cardiologist is not qualified to administer propofol in a hospital setting, let alone in someone's private home. And I believe he was using it as a sleep aid for Michael Jackson, which is absolutely ridiculous and dangerous. And that guy went to prison, as he should. Propofol is an extremely dangerous drug, right? Propofol is it sedates you and it makes you stop breathing. Like, you have to have a qualified person who knows how to handle someone's airway when you give them propofol. That's why it should only be given by, like, ED physicians, anesthesiologists, nurse anesthetists. Right. So, but it's the same thing. Do you know, I mean, it's about every day when I tell someone, hey, when I have someone for surgery, I'm like, I'm going to give you this. I'll give you some propofol. And they're like, oh, the Michael Jackson drug. I'm like, yeah, the Michael Jackson drug, but it was used inappropriately. But people do understand that by and large. So I don't think stigmatization has happened as a result of that. But maybe the impact isn't as much as bad as I think it is with the ketamine. But I just wanted to I don't know, explain that that ketamine is a very unique drug. It has amazing therapeutic potential and use and clinical use, and it's very safe. It is a really, really safe drug. It's also a drug of abuse, which I haven't mentioned. It's a street drug as well. It's a drug of abuse. But anyway, that's really all I have to say about this topic. You can email me at icudrecmo@gmail.com if you have any questions. Thanks.